Okay, like I was saying, this friend of mine sent me a video of a preacher. I'm not going to say who the preacher is because a lot of people are doing this now. And this preacher has a YouTube video. And again, I'm not going to link this out either on my video if I actually make this little thing I'm sharing here into a video. But they're saying that something about the constellation Virgo, and she's, you know, sitting with the moon under her feet, and she's with child and all that. In other words, they're taking putting their own personal opinion into Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and declaring it a prophetic event for September 23rd of this year, right? Well, this confirms they are all false prophets. Main reason being is no man knows the day or the hour. We know what's coming next, but we don't know the day or the hour. But these guys somehow know the day and the hour. Right? September 23rd, a prophetic event is supposed to happen. But not according to my Bible. Plus, they're using the 1,260 days that Daniel spoke of in the middle of a 2,300-year prophecy. That's already occurred, but they're saying it's about to happen because the Jesuits have to do that. The Jesuits are the one that started that lie. So not only do we have biblical proof that the 1,260 years actually have already happened, we have historic proof that it happened during the exact year that the prophet Daniel predicted it would happen via the testimony of the angel Gabriel. They started, the 1,260 years started in the exact year the Roman Catholic Church gained political and religious power, making her a woman literally sitting on a beast, as John the Revelator saw her. And for the next 1,260 years, for in prophecy, a day equals a year, according to Numbers 14:34 and Ezekiel 4:6, the Church of Rome initiated the Great Tribulation, where hundreds of millions of Christians were killed by the Catholic Church, and they somehow assumed that Jesus would have missed a prophecy like that. And in other words, there is no Bible prophecy that talks about it, so they kind of hush it up. Sorry. But they initiated that great tribulation that Jesus spoke of, that the Jesuits of Rome have been trying to hide for centuries, that proved the popes of Rome were in fact the man of sin and Antichrist. Hundreds of millions of Christians were tortured and killed by the popes and the prelates during exactly 1,260 years, from the year 538 AD to 1798 AD, when Napoleon ended the Vatican rule by sending in General Berthier. And we somehow are supposed to ignore all that and think that Jesus Christ wouldn't prophesy about something as deadly as that for his own bride, right? I'm, of course, ad-libbing a little bit too much, so I hope I don't, if I do make this into a video, it doesn't go too long. But as prophesied in the scriptures, many false prophets have come forward. These preachers that claim this stuff about September 23rd are just one more servant of the dying God of this world. And so pray for these guys and pray that they repent and become one with Jesus, because the time is very short. And for the truth about the 1,260 years and a lot more prophetic fulfillments that have confirmed fulfilled, that have been confirmed fulfilled in historic record, I have a page on the website. Like if you go to remnantofgod.org/666-char.htm, that's a bunch, like a couple dozen prophecies that, you know, expose the Pope as the Antichrist, look at prophecy number 5 about the 1,260 days / years. Well, now, as for the signs that shall be from heaven, no. Jesus was not talking about blood red moons. He wasn't talking about eclipses or the signs of the zodiac, which, by the way, were invented by Pharaoh's magicians to help claim Pharaoh was a god by stating the stars now suddenly moved to his birth date. Yeah, that's right. That's when horoscopes began. That's when they were invented. So all those celestial events can literally be charted and mapped in time. I mean, you can buy, actually for free, you can get an app for that now, right? So they can all be mapped in time, which means we can know the exact time that they're going to come to fruition. You know, blood red moons, eclipses, and Virgo sliding into whatever, right? So to believe those signs are of God is to call him a liar. When his son said in Matthew 24:36, but of the day and the hour no man knoweth, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. For the false preachers out there, or any, you know, buddy that echoes this stuff, to claim that they have an actual date regarding a prophesied event means they call God a liar, and their dying god, Satan, is a trusted source. So please open your Bibles, brothers and sisters. It's very easy to expose these ravenous wolves. There is precious little time left, and the Lord needs workers with spiritual backbones without guile to tell the truth as it is written. Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. All the false prophets that echo Jesuit lies all they're doing is setting everyone up, so that they can accept Antichrist on earth when he appears. And it's going to be soon. And he's going to claim to be Jesus Christ when the Bible plainly stated, long ago that Jesus never touches the earth at his second coming. And this is why they're doing this. They push these prophecies because guess what's going to happen? September 24th is going to come. Nothing's going to change. It's just like with that Harold Camping or Pat Robertson or Hal Lindsey. Nothing's going to change except the hearts of the people that claim Jesus Christ Lord. They're eventually going to get to a point where look at all these mainstream, very believable, well-educated teachers and preachers keep prophesying mistakes. Well, now what? I guess Christian prophecy is a joke. That is what Satan's going for. They teach a ton of false prophecies to get all the people weary of them so that when the real preachers speak of prophetic warnings, most of them are going to think that, we're nothing but a bunch of false prophets and we're crying wolf like all the other guys because what you're saying is not going to happen anyway because what he said last year didn't happen either. So they're going to ignore the real prophetic events when all these false prophecies keep on failing. And so that is more or less what I typed in, and I put a couple of links and stuff like that in those videos for people to check out that keep, seeing these October or September 23rd. Kind of reminds me, remember the Harold Camping? Didn't he ever think about October? This is the rapture. Now, guess what's also going to happen on September 24th? Those false preachers, their videos are all of a sudden going to be missing, or they're going to be missing. I mean, look what Galel Doss did from worldslastchance.com. He's got a bunch of videos out there. And now, by the way, he preaches flat earth, too, by the way. And a lunar Sabbath. All right? And it, somebody actually used his website to try to convince me about flat earth. And I says, well, he also says that the Sabbath changes every month to the phases of the moon. He also prophesied that John Paul II would raise from the dead when Ratzinger left office, and John Paul II would be the next pope after Ratzinger, or Benedict XVI, as he's also known, and he would be the living embodiment of Antichrist on earth, but he would look like John Paul II when he was young in the 1970s, when he got elected in 78. But then all of a sudden, Francis came in. Benedict steps down, Francis comes in, and that page is suddenly missing from Galel Doss's website at worldlastchance.com. But not before the Holy Spirit moved me a couple, 3 months prior to copy it. The entire page, just glean it out of my server, the pictures and all, kept it in the exact same structure that he had it, and hid it on my server, waiting for Benedict to die or step down. Because I knew it was a false prophecy. It's just like that 666man.net. That guy's name is Ron Johnston. He came into our rooms. Mary remembers this because she was with us back then. We were on fire talking. This guy comes in and he started saying, the next pope after John Paul II, when he dies, is going to be Pope so-and-so the first. Because when John Paul II dies, you're going to have 665 for the amount of numbers. When you compile all the popes, they say, look, I'm Jove 13, I'm Byron 8, I'm John Paul 2. You just add all those numbers up from I think it's from 1929 is what he was saying, from when they got their political power, when the wound started healing again. So you go from, or no, maybe it was from Napoleon's day, whatever, it doesn't matter. He was saying, just add all those numbers up and you'll come to the exact Antichrist will be the next pope. Well, oops. Benedict the 16th, which is what showed up. So they were off by 15 numbers. And so his page suddenly disappeared. But not before I removed it or copied it and stuck it on my server oh man, I think it was 6 months before, like the minute he started preaching it in the Fire Talk rooms, I copied his page letter for letter. I just copied the whole thing and just dumped it on my server. I just put the whole HTML, I didn't even bother changing it, and putting it into one of my own. And sure enough, it failed. Like we knew it would, because that's not what the prophecy means. It doesn't mean that you got to have, Pope so-and-so and then add them all up and there's the number of the beast. No, the Bible says the number of his name. You know, and his name is Vicarius Filii Dei or Helatine Basilia or whatever, Dux Clary, all these names that equal 666 in Latin, because you just use gematria and you add it up, because Latin lettering is also Roman numerals and it's just easy. But this guy didn't want to hear that. He had a calculation and he was going to run with it. And so he was confirmed a bona fide false prophet, just like Galel Doss of World's Last Chance or all the other guys like Pat Robertson or Hal Lindsey. But yet they still go out there because people don't know. And that's why the Lord told me to copy those pages. Thanks, man. The Lord told me to copy those pages down so that when those prophecies fail, because it's obvious it's not what the Bible says is going to happen, we can use it to show people, look, you can't trust these guys. This is what prophecy said was going to happen in our day. Many false prophets. And there's a lot more false prophets out there than most people realize, because prophets aren't only defined in Scripture as the people that tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. They knew. Prophets are also defined as those who put forth doctrinal truth. I mean, case in point, when the Torah was there, only five books of the Bible that Moses put down, now we got 66 books. And how did they get to that point? Well, someone would prophesy and say that the Lord says we should do this this way or we should do this that way. Well, they would check the old light as it was in the Torah. And if it didn't go against that which is written, because new light cannot contradict old light, it became sanctified and part of the Scripture. And so most of the time, that's what the prophets would do. But predicting what would happen tomorrow, yeah, they do that too once in a while. But there was a lot more doctrinal. So how is it that I see there's many more false prophets today, like Jesus said there would be in our day? Well, if you want to get out there and count how many Sunday-keeping pastors there are, you've got one number. or you can even go with the seven-year tribbers, or you can go with the guys that say there's eternal life and hellfire, because none of those things, or Christmas and Easter, but all these strange holidays, but just stick with the doctrinal stuff. Like, for example, when they say that Sunday is the Sabbath, there isn't a scripture from Genesis to Revelation to back that up. But there's a ton of old and new light that says, no, they're wrong, because Isaiah said, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And he also said in Isaiah 8:20, to the law and the testimony, they speak not according to this word, because there's no light in them. And so that means they're a false prophet. They're declaring God said something. And since it's not in the Bible, well, then that means they are prophesying, because it has not yet been put in paper, on paper. So they are prophesying. So then you go and you check it. You say, okay, like those kids that came in here a couple, 3 years ago that were saying we should preach this or that about the Ark of Noah and the Ark of the Covenant. That Ron Wyatt was declaring certain things. And so they brought the information to me, and me and Craig looked it over and found out it was wrong. I said, sorry, this is wrong. We're not going to preach this. This goes against the old light. And then all of a sudden we became a cult. They left and they became SDAs. And then they tried to infiltrate and they started to attack. And that's what happens with some people, like Korah, what he did to Moses, because Moses wasn't going to bend. Korah was ticked off and he got a bunch of people behind his back saying, look, Moses, we're sick and tired of you telling us what we're doing wrong. How about telling us what we're doing right once in a while? Well, there's nothing wrong with telling you when you're doing something wrong, because don't you want to kind of like figure out what you're doing wrong so that you can make that smile appeal on your father's face? But no, they were sick of hearing that. And so people would get upset when you show them the Bible. They can't rebuke the truth. They can't. This is why the devil hates it so much. Truth never hits the ground. It's eternal. Not like lies. Lies are always just lies. I mean, they just hit the ground and rot away, and then you got to come up with a new lie because the old lie don't work no more. I mean, look at the Quran. if the old doctrines from the 1700s, kind of like rub you the wrong way, well, then read a little further. They'll be done away with, because the new light always outdoes the old light, which is the exact opposite of how Scripture is written. So commandment number six, if you have hatred in your heart towards your fellow man or fellow woman, then you are literally committing murder in your heart, is what Jesus said. So that's the way it's declared. And that's one of the reasons, I was talking about this earlier, that's one of the reasons there's so many violent movies and violent video games. Satan is getting the people, not only is he getting people ready to become part of his Armageddon troops to surround those of us that will be part of the Gideon Band, he's also getting people to commit sin in two ways. Well, I mean, with the movies, you know, and they even do this in video games too, because like, look at Grand Theft Auto. I've never played a game, never seen it played, but people tell me that you can rape girls in the game. And so, okay, there's rape, that's a sin. You've got adultery, fornication, whatever you want to look at. And then look at the movies, same thing. They just do it on screen. And then, of course, murder in the games and in the movies. And in the movies, it's even worse. Well, actually, it's about it's six of one and half dozen of the other. It's more or less the same thing if you think about it, because of the way that you're playing a video game and you hate the character so much, you're blasting him and just, just shooting the daylights out of him and killing him or whatever, right? You get to a point, you start killing. And even some teenagers that have committed murders, they wanted to try it for real for once, because the video games are so realistic now. They wanted to see, does the, like, when I shoot somebody in the head, does it really splash like that? You know, that kind of, this is what these young girls have said. But then girls, because their guys are doing it left and right, but I couldn't believe these young girls were doing it too, killing people. But the movie's the same thing. Like, you watch a movie and the actor plays his part, which is a professional liar, okay? He plays his part so well as a villain, you are tempted and literally become okay with it in your mind that you hate him and you want him to be taken out at the end of the movie and destroyed. And the whole audience applauds. They get up there and applaud when the villain finally gets his. And they go, yeah, I finally got him. You know, in other words, devil won. He got everybody in there to go, yeah, we killed him. He's dead. And all he was an actor playing a part. And then he comes up in another movie as another villain because he played that part so well. So that's all it is. Oh, I let me see if I could find it there. Now here you go, Brother Darren, and let me know when you go there, like if you send me an email or whatever, let me know if they deleted my comment. There's the link. But I don't like handing it out willy-nilly, because I know what you're going to do with it, but you know, I don't want to put it in the chat room and have a chance for you know, a young in the faith getting affected by it, because these preachers are really manipulating the scriptures. What's that noise?
They're scraping the road again this year. I don't see nobody.
Sounds like somebody grinding down on corn feed, but hold on. Yeah, I think they're scraping the road again. It's going to get louder. But because he ain't even here yet. But every now and then they'll go through the corn, and this is the time of the year they're going to do it. They'll go into the corn with like what it kind of looks like, and it actually is a shredder. Yeah, he's scraping a road. Oh, no, he's not. Okay, he was driving slow enough to be a road scraper, but now he's got one of them weed arms hanging out. He's not even using it, but he's going slow. These tractors are noisy. So, but yeah, you're very welcome, Brother Darren. And thank you again for getting back to me on that Clonezilla thing, because I got to tell you, that one video you sent, I'm going to check it out, but still, I would rather just have it if I could set up a physical backup system, because I got to tell you, I am in love with Linux. And the way it runs is just, it blows the doors off of anything, and they finally perfected it in such a way with the GUI interfaces to where it looks like Windows. You can actually make it look like Windows if you want. It looks, your computer with the icons, you click them, everything's the same. And the only reason I say I prefer the terminal end of things, because I've always been a DOS monster back in the day. But the reason I like with the icons is because when I put it on my wife's computer, it's like, oh yeah, I can handle this. I won't have to show her anything. I won't have to teach her nothing. It's just boom, boom, boom. It'll go just fine. And I couldn't believe this. You know, they got that, the clones for like Microsoft Office and whatnot. So I dumped a bunch of my servers, sermons into my server. Well, this Linux box I'm making. And I pulled it in using their emulators, their Microsoft Office emulator. And not only did it pull it in and pulled it up perfectly, which even Microsoft can't do. Have you ever noticed that? Some of the old, so I got sermons that are 20, 30 years old. I can't open them up in Microsoft's word processors, even though I use Microsoft word processor to make them. Figure that out. Like, remember Works, Microsoft Works? Oh, forget it. Don't work. But anyway, yeah, you can pull it into Linuxbox, and not only does it pull it in perfectly, there's no little character hangers on the end of things and saying, uh-oh, we got a little major mini crash. Not only we don't have that, it underlines where I underlined, it highlights where I highlight, and it bolds where I bold, and it even has the exact same font. But I only use Arial. I think everybody uses Arial. I mean, well, every computer system has Arial. I just like it. It's nice and crisp. I don't like Times Roman because that's the default on most systems. I don't like the dangling edges. Maybe I'm just a little goofy anyway. I just don't like Times New Roman. Every time I had a computer, even when I was starting out, I would always change the defaults. I didn't like their way of doing things. And plus, it made me, I wanted to show off a little bit. Look what I've done, Well, I tell you, I was a nut. So let's see. Okay, that was a... Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I've done that too, Alex, I've never grabbed a gun from a guy. I mean, I have it bounced off my forehead, but I've had a guy swinging at me, and I just grabbed his fists in midair. Because everybody knows I catch flies, right? So he realized, and his facial expression was at that time, his uh-oh. because he's swinging at me. I grab both fists, right? And I just hold him. To stop him from swinging. This happened in high school, because I guess I was talking to somebody that he wanted to talk to, and I wasn't looking to date her or nothing, and we're just talking. He comes up swinging like he wanted to show off, and I just grabbed his fist. in other words, you can actually have someone beat themselves up. You can literally allow them to beat themselves up. In other words, they come at you, you get out of the way at the last second. And they go flying against a wall or hit a table and roll over or something like that. They wear themselves out to the point where they can't even hit you. You just keep moving or keep dodging the blows or whatever, You can actually have fun with it and start laughing. I haven't done that. I haven't done it actually that way, but... Okay, I got that one. Okay, I got another PM here. This is my brother Reginald. You see here. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So thanks. Brother Reginald just revealed to me that there's no rape in Grand Theft Auto, but there is prostitution. So, but there is, and he says there's murder, drug use, theft, and then other sins. And because when he was younger, I guess he says he used to play it. The names for prayer. Did you get the reply email that I sent you about the names for prayer? Let me just see. How long ago did you send it, brother? Because right now I am 192 emails behind. Well, actually 190. Two of them that just came in are, hey, we just subscribed to you. Yeah, well, how long is that going to last? You're not going to believe this. Every time I start to get to a certain number in YouTube, because I just went over it again this morning, and then it's got vacuumed off again. They just keep taking my subscribers. And I'm thinking, go for it. I don't care anymore. I'm just going to keep making the videos. Because I'm thinking of actually doing the blog entry as a video. So, in other words, you're going to have to hire somebody specifically to watch my account alone. Because I'm going to get busy with these videos. I'm tired of this. And so they might just kick me offline. I've tried Vimeo. Waste of time. I had it on there 4 or 5 days. I put a 1-minute video on there for 4 or 5 days. And two guys picked it up that had, both of them together, I think they had over 1 million subscribers or whatever. But then and I thought, oh, cool, man, it's going to go. No, I just sat there. I didn't get any hits. And then I looked at the way Vimeo is set up. I said, yeah, these guys are probably just adverts. They could be bots for all I know. So I just deleted it, took it off of Vimeo. God tube, I won't even try, not even a gunpoint, because it's not a Christian setup, even though they claim it to be. Because the minute you start sharing truth, absolute truth, if you start talking about the law of God, who the Antichrist is, and how seven-year trib is wrong, if you go against anything the owners of God tube believe in, you're out of there. Even if your video becomes number one, like my Antichrist video, I just tested it years and years and years ago before I started John 14:29. That's why I started John 14:29, by the way. It's the main page when you go to John 14:29. I talked all about God too there. Still had the graphics and everything that I used for it. But they specifically deleted me because it was the number one video for about a week. Everybody on GodTube was watching it about the Antichrist. And it was the full version. It wasn't the clipped down 9-minute version that I put on YouTube, because when I first got on YouTube, I read their the thing you got to sign, their warrant, not the warranty, whatever it is, their disclaimer or whatever it is. I can't remember. But I didn't like the way it was worded and how they can use my videos and do whatever they want with it, kind of a thing. And then I found out later, well, that's just in case they want to do advertisements and they can use anybody's videos from their server to advertise YouTube. Yeah, like they'd ever use that with mine. They would make it a fact that they would steer clear of that, like the plays. Well, if they could. So, but yeah, I didn't. On the 7th of this month. Okay, so let me go up the 30th of this month. Well, that had been 2 days ago. Say, okay, so Monday would have been the 4th, so it would have been a Thursday. So let's see. Okay, I got my server tech support, and they really did help, and I praise God. Oh, yeah, I think I did. Let's see. Would you mind giving me the first names of the brethren, your son and daughter, on the path of Hurricane Irma? I'm not going to give you the brethren's names because I don't have permission, and plus there's 159 different families there. But my son's name is Luke, and my daughter's name is Courtney. We actually just had. They just called here. They wanted to do this before church started, but then they couldn't get everybody on the phone together. And so after Fran did the children's story, we got on our knees here in the living room, well, the dining room, put her phone on speakerphone, and Courtney had everybody over, her friends and their family, in her apartment, I guess. Luke was there. And then some of our kids, I guess, were on speakerphone as well. They can only get one or two of the kids, I think, on speakerphone. And then we just had prayer. And I reminded everybody about how the Lord has we actually recorded twice, but I only have one copy of it left now. Two different copies, but I only have one that might still be on my computer somewhere, where we prayed and asked the Lord to move storms off certain paths. But usually it was always tornadoes. And we got up to 51 tornadoes, and then we stopped counting after that because it was just amazing how he was answering every prayer. But out of the 51, two of them, I just happened to notice that when you go to the certain website to watch the storms with the radar and all that stuff coming in, they had a record feature. And I thought, well, that's neat. I'm going to try it. And twice we caught and recorded on screen a tornado coming right at us. And then after we pray, it shifted north, went past our area, and then dropped back south and got back on its original track. I kid you not, that's exactly how it looked on radar. And so I reminded the kids of that and everybody that was in the room over there in Florida when we were praying. And then I reminded them how we have all been praying as a church family, that it weakens, the Lord weakens the storm and pushes it away, especially because I think most of the family members, I know my kids are on the east side, and I don't know, where are you at, Omar? Are you on the east or the west side of with your mom over there in the hospital? I don't know if he's east side. See, praise God. So, because that's what we were concentrating on, because most of the people that I know are on the east end of things on Florida. Now, I do know some people that are on the west side, and some actually that left and left badly, our number. And so I asked the Lord, or we asked the Lord to, you know, when it hits that mountain range in Cuba, could you let it hang there for a while so that it continues on a westerly course? And that's exactly what happened. And so praise God for that. Because they were all predicting it could come up first they said it was all going to come up and just rake the whole eastern side, the whole eastern seaboard of the U.S., which would have caused all sorts of damage in all sorts of states. And we prayed for that not to happen. And then they were saying it was going to come up the center. And even there, the bands would still hit the eastern side. And then, but now it looks like it's going to rake the whole western side of Florida. And I'm still praying that, if it has to do that, that's the Lord's will, of course. But at the same time, let it weaken. And now it's down to category three. And I'm not saying it's all my prayers. It's your prayers. All of us are praying this. And so praise God that that's happening right now. The only thing I don't like is if when it goes into the Gulf, it's going to heat up. I mean, that water's hot. And it's going to, especially so because they messed up the Gulf Stream, the underwater, cold water stream. It's kind of like a jet stream. When they dropped that Corexit, and when that Corexit got in there, it pushed all the oil to the bottom of the Gulf Stream and stopped the Gulf Stream from coming in because all the heavy water went right, all that oil went down there. And that's why we had the polar vortex coming down for 3 years after that. We had bone chilling below zero for weeks on end in Indiana, and you ain't supposed to have that because the jet stream that usually pushes that northward wasn't anywhere around us because the jet stream that's usually over the Gulf is generated by the water jet stream, I guess they would call it, or the cold water current, was gone. And that causes a jet stream. Well, that's gone still. It's still gone. And so Irma might still, get some muscles on her. So keep praying. Especially like when she gets off of Cuba, she's getting in that hot water, the warm water. And that's just going to, kick it up a notch. But still, even if it rakes the western side, everybody on the east side is going to have to deal with all the bands. All the bands, that it's kind of like a universe. It looks like it looks like a galaxy. Ever noticed that, though? I've noticed that. It looks like the Milky Way galaxy or whatever. It spins, and it has those bands coming out, And so there's going to be a lot of very, very violent thunderstorms, if not tornadoes, on the west side. And so, but at least you're not going to have to deal as much with the storm surge, because they were predicting 15, 16 feet. Now they're predicting 3 or 4 feet. Still, that's bad enough. It's going to tear up some beaches and some of that expensive real estate, but then none of us are millionaires or no millionaires. But still, I pray for them too. I mean, it's not their fault they're millionaires. And yes, I say fault. So it can be an issue. So let's see. Assistant, he didn't explain Revelation 12 is symbolic, and we're not expected to see literal sign of the heavens for a woman, the dragon drawing out a third of the stars. Okay, well, most of those prophetic events happened, if not all. The woman is the church. The moon in prophecy is idol worship, and that's why she's standing on the moon is because she's overcome it. But you go to Revelation, my Revelation Studies page, or just go to Revelation 12. Let's go there real quick. I'm still recording. So let's, I might stash this. I don't know. It could be a POGM event. Let's just put it that way. But it looks like it's coming in, not a lot of volume. But let me just go to Remember God. Go to Prophecy Study Tools, Symbols of Revelation. And I'm not going to go look up moon or anything. I'm just going to go to Revelation chapter 12. And since it's verses 1 and 2, heaven, I'm going to read you what the symbols mean now. Heaven, of course, is God's throne. The woman is the church. The son is representative in prophecy of the father, his throne, his glory, his righteousness, and ruler. Okay, the moon depicts in prophecy idol worship, giver of life, measure of time, permanence, rulership, prophetic signpost. For times, signs of the times and stuff. Feet, beauty of the gospel. Okay, right there, that tells you something. Proper dressing of feet, all things under the feet, where they pierced him, and then, of course, deliverance, where you overcome it. The head is the place of recognition, the strength, the cornerstone, the resting place, of course, the blessing. The crown is the kingship. Okay, the stars, you got the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles, the 12 patriarchs, the 12 baskets, the 12 witnesses, it goes on from there. The 144,000, it's a multiple of 12. And then, verse 2, the child is Israel, Jesus, and God's people. And I think that's it, because then I go to verse 3. So, but I just assume wait until September 23rd. Why do the study? You know, if the people are going to not read their Bibles and fall for this falderall, they need a spanking. Seriously. I mean, I have a lot of my pages on my website are the end result of a brother in the faith or a sister in the faith that was lured off the path by falderall. This is why I've got the Yah cult page, because some people in the church family started believing that you can only use Yah or Yahweh or Yeshua HaMashiach. And if you don't, and there's nothing wrong with those names, if you want to use them, fine, praise God. It's a better pronunciation of his name anyway. But if you say that those are the only names you must use or you're going to hell, well, then you're in a cult. And I can prove it. And because, I mean, God's got many names in the scriptures, right? And then someone in the church family was starting to get lured off the path regarding flat earth. Well, boom, a flat earth page. It proves it all a bogus lie. Or someone in the path in the church family started getting lured off the path to have some major questions about a lunar Sabbath. Boom, I got a page about that. Or the feast days. Or hellfire. Or Sunday Sabbath. Whatever. But this is so easy to expose when it comes to this. They're using horoscopes. They're using something that was literally invented by Pharaoh's men or his magicians to acknowledge him as a god. This is what they're basing their theology on? Horoscopes? Spiritualism? Satan's ideas as to what the signs of the heavens should be? Because that's what it is. I mean, you could literally get an app that tells you the date and the time something's going to happen in the skies. Because it's a no-brainer. These things are going to happen, right? But contemplate the cloud coming out of the Orion Nebula. That you can't get an app to show that other than to go in the scriptures and see that he's going to come on a cloud. Because that cloud's coming out of the Orion Nebula right now. Scientists can't figure that out. There's no app for that. So those are the kind of signs you got to look for. The stuff you can't map. But all these other things, there's all these just little, you know, I just assume wait till, you know, September 24th. You know, like I've done so many times before. I got like here. I've got a false prophet section in my, which is going to be a little bit difficult for me to have to do away with if I ever get Linux on my main system, because I don't know if I can pipe in all the data that I have in Microsoft Office, especially Outlook. And then I have two other email softwares that I used to use. I have literally probably 20 gig worth of data in just my email software. And my false prophets folder alone has, I'm not going to count it, but I'm scrolling now, and I'm only in the G's right now. I mean, I got people like Galal Dawson here, Forerunner 777, EndTimeWarning.com, or Eric Feltz, or you got Dabu 777. You know, stuff like this. These guys that have shown very bad fruit. And when someone asks me a question about them, if I have data on them, I'll show them. If I don't, I'll go see if I got time. And if it turns out they're bad, I store it on them so I don't have to go look at it again. And that's all I do in regards to that. And so, yeah, my false prophet page or section is huge. And so, but I do have a section in here where it's called Watching. And it's got 21, and then I think I got a folder in it for a guy named Jack Darnell, Montague Matho, New Money, and Signs of September. In Signs of September, I put up there September of 2016. Some guy was pushing it back then. He sent me a thing. And it was all stipulation. It was all using opinion. Not a single Bible verse to back any of this stuff up, unless he twists the daylights out of it first. And, okay, same guy. He did it twice to me. He sent me twice on September 1st two massive emails right there, right off the bat when they do that. They're lecturing. And then he'll send, here's another thing, too. He started off with Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and went all the way down to Revelation 20, verse 14, with a letter A after it, and showing me all the Bible references that prove what he's saying. But no verses. Just the referencing. I mean, just where, in other words, I got to go Bible surf to make sure he's telling the truth. That's what Jesuits do. I noticed that when I was a Roman Catholic. This is one of the reasons I got out of the church, or actually got into the Bible, because I thought it started thinking, well, what's up with this? Why is it when I'm reading this little booklet called Steps to Christ? Yeah, I kid you not. They actually have a book in the Catholic Church called Steps to Christ. they plagiarize the title from Sister White, right? So it's called Steps to Christ, and they got it's a devotional. Same thing, right? And so each page has, you know, you and I used to carry it in my hip pocket when I used to say the rosary. I was a devout Catholic. I went to Mass every day. I was a Eucharistic minister. I taught Catholic doctrine all the whole 9 years, right? So I had this thing in my hip pocket. I even wore a scapula, right? And a crucifix ring. And so I had this in my hip pocket. I noticed one day, I said, you know, I'm going to check out these verses just out of curiosity because the Jesuit priest that wrote the Steps to Christ, he gives all this really nice flowery language as how your day is going to go and everything's be, you know, copacetic and everything. You just walk with Christ and don't forget Mary. And, you know, do this and do that, whatever, right? And at the end of the page, you get like, I don't know, 20, sometimes 30 different areas in the scripture that you should look at to verify everything that he said. But one day I sat down and did that. And I found out that 80% of what he put up, I'm not kidding you, 80% of those Bible verses had absolutely nothing to do with what he said on that page. They just put that there knowing you're not going to go Bible surf, because most Catholics don't even have a Bible, let alone know where those, you know, chapters and verses are or even what they mean. Like, what is Mar? What's M-A-R? 2:3. What is that? Who's Mar? Okay, that's Mark. We know. We're Christians. We know this. But most Catholics don't know. What's Mar? Or what's one Thess? What is one Thess? Or as Trump would say, what's 2 Corinthians? Or he gets up there and says 2 Corinthians instead of, you know, 2 Corinthians, so on and so forth, right? He goes, 2 Corinthians. I don't know anybody that talks like that. But so anyway, that's people that don't read Bibles. And so I read those things. And this is, and so I watch these guys like, hey, what is this Jack Darnell guy? And a lot of times I'll go back and forth with them, but I'll hit a no reply on them. In other words, I'll send them the data to try to help them out of their deception, but I'll put a no reply at remnantofgod.org because that's just a bogus email address. I have it bounce from my server. They can email to it, but it's never going to come onto my server. It's just, no, you point, shoots it out. I won't even see it. I can't even see it if I wanted to. It's just never going to reach me. It's just a bounce. And I do that because some people, they'll go, oh, your website's so nice. It's so beautiful. It's all this, you know. And they'll ask this question and that question. And they'll kind of trick me into answering them and using my email address. And all of a sudden, when they get my real email address, it's like, you know, it's all growling, bloodthirsty hatred. It's like, oh, never mind. I'll just send them, you know, a couple of emails. I'll answer their questions, but I'll put a no reply. And after a while, if it looks legit, then yeah, we'll start talking. But I do that with everybody that hits the thing now, because it's just the norm now, because it's set up that way. And I'm not doing it because I think you're evil. I do it because it prevents an influx of emails. Because that, like right now, I'm about 200 behind, 192 behind, or 190. But yeah, I'm watching, and I've got, 21 different statements that were made all the way back from January 27, 2014 is when I started this particular folder. I have other ones. Like, for example, here, October 23rd, 2014, it was reported that Ebola is now in 9 states of the United States of America. And they had all these predictions of how these things were going to go down. There's going to be mandatory vaccines. It's going to be martial law. And they put this out stating that this was going to happen in May. And so, you know, as soon as it doesn't happen in May, I go to their video and say, if that guy leaves his video up on October 24th, it might be a good idea to say, okay, there you go, everybody, just as we thought, another false prophet. But usually they just delete their videos or they turn off the comment section all of a sudden. And I'm thinking about doing that on my site though too, because some of the comments, I'm sick of having to deal with the hatred. You know, cause I like on some of the, like for example, the flat earth video, it's still getting comments and I have it set up to where I got to read the comment before I approve it, because some of these guys will come up with, these long dissertations, like Jesuits do, to try to confuse you with lies to hide the facts. I don't have time for that idiocy. You know, do this real science. get in a rocket, shoot yourself up with a camera, and take a picture of the flat Earth, please, because it's 2017. You guys can do this by now, right? And so, yeah, I just delete a lot of those. If they're going to come up with foul language, hatred, bold-faced lies, anger, you know, because a lot of times somebody will come on and with the comments and start yelling at one of my brothers or sisters in the faith, I just won't let them see it. You know, not that I'm trying to be the, you know, the end all protector. No, I'm just tired of playing. And it does prevent a lot of hits to the videos. I understand that. And I don't care. I'm not in it for the hits. I'm in it for the truth. Because I've seen how, like, for example, the Hillary video that I put out where she said that you got to change your bias, your religious bias. These things have to change. And I left those comments wide open because I knew it was just going to be a political firestorm. And even though I have been censored, that video, let me just see if I can get her to come up here. I haven't seen it in weeks. Has gone to 89,178 views. That was 2 years ago. And then I had another one that's 1 year ago where it says worshiping Hillary Clinton. And that only got like almost 2,400. And so because they're literally singing a song, it's a hymn dedicated to Jesus. But instead of using the name Jesus, they put Hillary in. It's just a bunch of women singing. And no one wanted to comment on that because even the people on the left thought, well, that was just plain stupid. Shouldn't have done that. Yes, Reginald, same one. He's the same one that lived with us in Indiana. He's hanging with his sister. So, but yeah. Okay, who was this? But yeah, the September 23rd thing, I just, like that, if you go to that, let's see, like, I don't have it online, but maybe I should do a little quick, like this thing here, this blurb that I put on it. Let me just see if it's still there. Let's see. Okay, it's not letting me get it. Oh, it's because there's an alarm going off. Oh, there's another one. Okay, let me just see if the SlimJet browser, it just keeps crashing. Oh, it's called Prophecy Update, and his name is Steve Kiko Kiokalanti in Discover Ministries. This guy's bona fide, dyed in the wool, hardcore false prophet. Let's see if he left my, it's been in there for a week, and the whole thing is there. My whole comment is there. And he hasn't responded to it. And I don't think he can. There's just no way. I'm surprised he didn't delete it, though, because usually these guys will delete my comments. And then they will ban me, you know, block me from recommenting. And that, okay, I don't know. He also preaches about Planet X. I just looked up and saw on the list here. And that to me is this. And that one's one of their favorite ones because they can keep that one going for decades. And eventually they figure, well, I'll die before I'm found out to be a false prophet. So they'll go for it. Why not just go for the truth? I mean, wouldn't that be better? And, yeah, I'm recording this, but I don't know if I'm going to put this on the server, Sister Vera, because it's an awful lot. I may about put it into a POGM event. All right, I'll probably put it in as a POGM event. That's what I'll do. I'll put it on as a POGM event because I don't think I can make a video. Oh yeah, it'll be available online. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if it's on the POGM event page, it's in the audio section of the server of the website. Just go to the menu and scroll down to where it says audio. So it'll be in there. So let me end the recording there.